It's time for overtime.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
In the world of sports, it's all about the playmakers in today's headlines, from locals to the pros, with interviews from local standouts and sports all-stars across the country that will have you talking.
Oh, my goodness.
Touchdown.
Hear from coaches to players, sports analysts, and broadcasters who are a part of the action every day. Overtime, now with Bert Ramin on ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Welcome in to the middle of the week Wednesday edition of Overtime. It is June the 17th, and then there were four programs remaining down in Omaha for the conclusion of the College World Series. The World Cup last night, living up to the hype. Lionel Messi, unbelievable career, great night. He was evoking tears from fans before he even got out on the soccer pitch last night, and he puts in a hat-trick performance in a 3-0 victory for Argentina over Algeria. And if you stayed up, it was Austria beating Jordan 3-1 at the World Cup yesterday. Today, four more matches on the way, leading us off here in less than an hour. Portugal and one of the other best players in the world taking on Congo, Democratic Republic of Congo, coming up at noon on Fox. A lot to love about the World Cup. We'll dive into that chatter coming up at the end of the show. Before we get there, though, big sporting event on the way. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday from Shinnecock Hills in New York. It is the U.S. Open. Scottie Scheffler is a heavy favorite. We'll break it down with our friend Kat Clark of Sioux Falls Golf here in about 20 minutes. In about 40 minutes, we welcome in the Twins geek to the show, John Bonus of TwinsDaily.com, breaking down the suddenly warming Minnesota Twins. They're 35-40. They've won three straight, four out of their last five. Now with the trade deadline around the corner, All-Star break around the corner, what do you get the sense of this Minnesota Twins team this time around? Are they shipping off 10 folks this year? No, they will not. You can book that. You can guarantee it. Twins might be sellers, might be heavy sellers. Don't really think so, but might be heavy sellers, but no way they ship off 10 players like they did ahead of the deadline just last year. We talk all things Twins with John Bonus, the Twins geek, at the end of hour one. That conversation beginning right around 11:40. And then in hour number two, headlines and highlights. We test your wits with today's identity crisis, which proved to be a little tricky. I like to put these things out to a couple different friend groups, and some people hammered away on it. I got it, Bert. Here's the answer. That's too easy. Other people said, you know, I'm not really sure. Had one buddy said I had to look him up, but I still don't remember who that is. So maybe a little tricky one. A former NFL player on my mind today for the identity crisis coming up in the middle of hour two. Latest NFL news, including a kumbaya quarterback competition that's not in Minnesota. Take notes, Viking quarterbacks. This is how you should handle and uplift your teammates. We'll update you on a different quarterback competition league-wide. And then, of course, round it out with the World Cup, comments on Messi's amazing night, and the good, the bad, and the ugly. Let's get into Major League Baseball. The Royals have been very bad, very ugly this year. That continued yesterday with a loss in D.C. 6-4. White Sox lose to the Yankees in a lopsided 1-12-2. Milwaukee fends off Cleveland 2-1. The Guardians fall to 39-34. Elsewhere, St. Louis over San Diego 3-2. Cardinals playing inspired baseball, win number 40 of the year for them, and the Rockies beat the Cubs at Wrigley 5-2, Chicago falling down to 38-36. Other notables, Detroit falling to Houston 4-2, and the Minnesota Twins hang 12 on Texas in Arlington. And it all started again for the second consecutive day in the first frame, one of the first at-bats of the day for Minnesota.
Here's the 1-0 pitch. Larnach is swinging a drive into right field and deep. Back it goes and way out of here. Second career leadoff home run for Trevor Larnach, and the second pitch of the game is a home run to right, and the Twins have another quick 1-0 lead.
That is what we saw in the Monday victory for Minnesota. Quick start accentuated by big bats the rest of the way. Minnesota 12-2 winners in Arlington yesterday. Zebby Matthews on the mound picked up his third win of the year. He says this team nothing but resilient at this stage.
I mean, it's awesome. You know, this team's resilient. We're putting it together. Offense is swinging it really well. Pitching staff is, piecing it together, throwing really well. So it's, I think we're just scratching the surface what we can do.
That's Twins youngster Zebby Matthews. Now for the Twins manager Derek Shelton on yesterday's win, which is the third straight for Minnesota and their fourth in their last five games.
I think it starts in the first. We get the first run, but then with Trevor's long homer, but then Josh Bell with a two-out hit there, doing a really good job to put 2-0. Then Cody puts a kind of exclamation point in the second inning for us to go up 5-0. And then I think there you just got to give credit to Zebby. I mean, I don't know how many three ball counts he has. I know he didn't have a walk, but he did a really good job of executing, staying in the zone, and really not trying to get too cute. He just pounded the zone and went right at him.
And that's Twins manager Derek Shelton. Today and tonight in Major League Baseball, Twins have an off day. They'll conclude that series in Arlington coming up on Thursday. Royals and Nationals get together at noon, 12:05, the official start time. Tigers at Astros, Padres at Cardinals. You can watch the White Sox take on the Yankees tonight, 6:05 on Prime Video from New York. Guardians at Brewers, 6:40. Rockies and the Cubs do it again from Wrigley. The nightcap for our area teams underway at 7:05. In the WNBA yesterday, a couple double-doubles for a pair of Fever stars. Aaliyah Boston at 18 points and 11 rebounds. Caitlin Clark had 21 and 14 assists in a 113-91 win over Toronto. The Fever improved their record to 9-5. Tonight in the WNBA, Lynx are in action in L.A. against the Sparks at 9 o'clock. Also at 9 o'clock, go time for the Phoenix Mercury, home to the Aces on USA and CNBC tonight. The broadcast in the WNBA, a 9 o'clock go time. In the NBA, we're getting the ratings, we're getting the rankings, everything that we need retroactively from the NBA Finals. Things are up. Things are good. Things are so good that the ratings are as good as they've been since Michael Jordan was in the league for his second chapter, 1998. Last time the ratings were this high for an NBA Finals. Here's Evan Cohen on what that all means.
The Golden State Warriors had this dynastic team with all of these players that people knew about, and Steph Curry and Kevin Durant, Draymond Green, Klay Thompson. They had a coach that was at least in our crosshairs in terms of conversation, Steve Kerr, forever since, attached to Michael Jordan. Shaq, he played with. And then you had across the way, arguably the second greatest player of all time in LeBron James. And that didn't beat this. If there was ever a question, are we ready for the next face of the NBA? I think it's Wemby. Some people, Knicks fans, may want to say, okay, now it's Jalen Brunson. That's fine. In the moment, you absolutely can say that. He's awesome. Like, he's a great guy. He's amazing on the court. However you want to spin it, it feels like we're ready for it in a way that we haven't been in a long time.
That's very well said for Evan Cohen this morning on Unsportsmanlike. Another big offseason storyline ahead is going to be what happens with Giannis Antetokounmpo. Michelle Smallman says there might be a little bit of doubt in regards to being a buyer of Giannis, in regards to one particular element that is more so off the floor.
This whole, I want to be here, but no, I don't. I love Milwaukee, but I want to win. And if I can't win here, well, I don't know. All of this that's been going on for quite some time, that has had a compounding effect. Is Giannis a diva? That's another thing you have to factor in, is the personality and the demands that would come along with it if he is to be brought into your organization, especially if you give up a ton to get him.
You know, a while ago, 3-4 years ago, we were applauding and lauding Giannis Antetokounmpo for the loyalty he showed to a smaller market in Milwaukee. I want to be here. And he proved that. They ended up winning a title with Giannis Antetokounmpo, despite everybody from the jump in his NBA career saying, okay, that's great. That's really cute. He's in Milwaukee, but where does he go next? When does he land on the New York Yankees? Proverbially, of course, retroactively to the NBA. But now we're seeing that come to fruition. He's going to be on a different team, of certainly likely to be on a different team this year. Where does he go? What does the chapter look like? I think most people can agree a change necessary. A change is exciting in the second half of the career for the Greek freak there, who used to, maybe in the future, but used to call Milwaukee home. Now over to the National Football League. Let's talk about the Baker Mayfield contract standoff, Baker Mayfield contract update. Here's Dan Graziano on the latest there. And the Tampa Bay Buccaneers might not liking Baker that much in terms of the price tag.
I think the issue here is the Buccaneers really like Baker Mayfield. The question is, to what extent financially? The contracts that they have had him on since he got there make a lot of sense for them. But if hypothetically he wants to be paid in the mid-$50 million a year, I could see the Bucks saying, well, we do like him, but we don't necessarily like him that much. And that could be what we're seeing, right? Like, if there are questions about durability going forward, how much do we want to commit, et cetera, based on what we've seen, I think that's where the issues lie. And with 1 year left on his contract, and obviously it's getting a little bit contentious, it seems, at the very least, I think it's fair to wonder. There were a lot of good vibes around that team this time last year, and they had a very disappointing season. And, you know, that does change your perspective on a lot of things.
It absolutely does. Dan Graziano of ESPN there. Quarterbacks right now that are paid over $50 million average on their contract per season include the likes of Jalen Hurts, Super Bowl winner, Lamar Jackson, two-time MVP, Justin Herbert, up-and-comer, Brock Purdy, paid heavily, Jared Goff, paid heavily, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Trevor Lawrence, Jordan Love, Matt Stafford, Dak Prescott, and Patrick Mahomes. Now, you can easily make an argument that Baker Mayfield is a peer of the lower-tier quarterbacks on that list, Jordan Love, Trevor Lawrence, Jared Goff, Brock Purdy, Justin Herbert, but there's also guys that have a lot more proven in terms of in the league with MVPs, Super Bowl victories, etc. You can argue Baker will fall in that $50 million range, but will the Buccaneers pony up and expect Baker Mayfield to continue this career reclamation? Here's Chris Canty on that topic.
Very few players have that type of career arc where they go from being cast-offs to winning Super Bowls. Now, does Baker have that ability? Yeah, at the right price. But what the Seattle Seahawks paid for Sam Darnold ain't what Baker Mayfield is asking for from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So if that was the price, then okay, great. But the question is, does Sam Darnold become worth it at $50 million coming off of the season he had in Minnesota? Would Baker Mayfield be worth it at $50 million? Can he win you a championship? That is the conversation that you have to have.
And that is the conversation that you absolutely have to have. It's a conversation on the daily in an NFL organization with a running back, with a pass rusher, with a quarterback, even with coaches and GMs. You know, we really like this guy a lot, but is he good enough? Is he great enough to get us where we want to go? Baker Mayfield is a fine NFL quarterback. Is he an elite quarterback? No. Is he a top-tier quarterback? That's up for debate. But he is very much above average at this stage. Tampa has to look themselves in the mirror and decide at what value are they comfortable with Baker Mayfield, because that $50 million price tag might feel like a lot, but that would just put Baker in the top 12 of quarterback contracts based on average annual value. And again, there's guys up there like a Daniel Jones, like a Sam Darnold, we're talking about Baker Mayfield. Aaron Rodgers' average annual value still up there. Baker Mayfield deserves elite money. That's what the market dictates. The question is, does Tampa want to meet that value, or could Tampa explore other options like a Brendan Sorsby in the supplemental draft? Dan Graziano says, you know what? The NFL doesn't have to have a supplemental draft. This is an interesting opinion after we spent yesterday, we being the broad strokes of the NFL community, talking about the who's, the what's, the where's, the when's, and the why's of the supplemental draft. Dan Graziano says the NFL doesn't have to have one at all.
You cannot, as a sports league, accept it. It's a bright line. It always has been. You cannot have players betting on their own games. It brings into the equation everything that, you know, everything that can sink a sports league. Is this on the level? Like, is the competition real? I paid for a ticket. Like, I deserve to see an honest competition. And if you have any reason to doubt that, then that's a big time slippery slope for the league we're talking about. And I'm fascinated to see what the NFL does. They don't have to have a supplemental draft just because Brendan Sorsby asked. Like, they can tell him no. And then if he gets into the league as an undrafted free agent, they could suspend him. They could suspend him for life. I mean, there would be a court battle, obviously, and the NFLPA would be involved at that point. But I think this is a really interesting time for the league in this particular case.
It is very interesting. And again, there is a little bit of precedent there for activity of a player doing things that are not acceptable in the college game retroactively. We talked about Kayshon Booty's situation yesterday on the show. He reportedly bet on college games on his own team, much lesser in number of bets and dollar amounts, allegedly, in the details we found. But that happened. Kayshon Booty was in the National Football League. He was arrested for that activity when he was in the NFL, and the NFL did not retroactively suspend Kayshon Booty. So you don't really think there's much of a rock to stand on in the NFL to suspend Brendan Sorsby, but Dan Graziano saying they ought to consider not having a supplemental draft. We'll see exactly what happens there. There are a lot of interested teams. Scott Satterfield, head coach at Cincinnati, reportedly talking to numerous NFL front office personnel executives about personality, teammate traits, how many people went to his birthday party. Joking, of course, draft day reference there, but a lot on the table for Brendan Sorsby in the weeks ahead. And by the way, that date for the supplemental draft would be right around a month from today, would be held on the 16th of July. At least that's the initial date reported on as of today. Let's move on. U.S. Open golf running tomorrow through Sunday. The favorite by a mile is Scottie Scheffler. Michael Collins says, I'm not so sure that Scheffler should be the favorite at Shinnecock Hills.
He doesn't really want to talk about completing the Grand Slam. And he was on the driving range yesterday, like grinding, really grinding. Listen, I'll never bet against Scottie Scheffler, but I don't think he should be the favorite going into this week. But I understand why he is, because he is Scottie Scheffler and his record over the long term has been spectacular. But is he coming into this week playing better golf than some of the other top named guys? No, absolutely not.
So Scheffler, your odds on favorite, plus 450, followed by Rory, Rahm, Cameron Young, and Xander Schauffele in the top five right now, courtesy of DraftKings Sportsbook. D1 Baseball College World Series yesterday. Troy, great story. They were eliminated by West Virginia 12-0 yesterday, and then Texas goes down. Georgia handed the Longhorns a 2-0 loss. So today we're down to four. North Carolina taking on West Virginia. That is an elimination game only for the Mountaineers, who have suffered one loss to North Carolina earlier in the tournament. That gets underway at 1 o'clock on ESPN. Oklahoma facing Georgia. Bulldogs have a loss. Oklahoma unblemished. That gets going 6 o'clock on ESPN. Again, double elimination tournament. So the only teams that can be eliminated today with a loss, West Virginia and Georgia in those pair of games. Now, the World Cup yesterday, a lot of great action. France beat Senegal 3-1. Mbappe had two goals for Team France. Elsewhere, Norway handled Iraq 4-1. Argentina got a hat trick from Lionel Messi. 3-0 victory over Algeria. Here's Chris Canty on the remarkable play and remarkable longevity of the game's brightest star.
It's one thing to be able to produce and be in your latter 30s or your 40s, but to have your countrymen that are surrounding you, your peers, decide that, hey, we're going to still orient this thing around you. You'll be the fulcrum of everything that we do. That just speaks to the level of greatness that we're talking about when we reference Messi. So, yeah, I think that people have to fully appreciate what we're watching in real time, because this is something that we might not see again in terms of a player being able to have this level of longevity, this level of productivity on the world stage.
Lionel Messi, 38 years old and still head and shoulders better than everyone, just about everybody in the tournament. 3-0 victory to open up World Cup play for Argentina over Algeria. And lastly, last night, late one, Austria beat Jordan 3-1. Today at the World Cup, underway at noon on Fox, Cristiano Ronaldo and Team Portugal taking on Congo DR. That is a noon start on Fox. England meets Croatia, 3 o'clock on Fox. Ghana takes on Panama, 6 o'clock on Fox Sports 1. And you've got Uzbekistan taking on Colombia, 9 o'clock on Fox Sports 1. Four matches today from across our great country in World Cup play. That is a look at your scorecard. We'll dive a little deeper into your ReliaBank headlines of the day in hour number two. But right now, we got to hop into a break, hop out, talking U.S. Open with one of our favorites. That's Cat Clark of Sioux Falls Golf. We're previewing Scottie Scheffler, Rory McIlroy. He's white hot as far as winning majors goes. Who should be favored? Who's going to win the whole darn thing? Other storylines, and we get caught up with all the activities, events on the calendar with Sioux Falls Golf coming up next on a Wednesday edition of Overtime.
ESPN Sioux Falls gets you back to more of Overtime with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Just getting going on this middle of the week Wednesday edition of Overtime. The U.S. Open is upon us, running Thursday through Sunday, Shinnecock Hills in New York. Last winner Etchenikok was in 2018. That was Brooks Koepka. Certainly a name to watch this week. Koepka is giving it a go despite some injury concerns moving forward. We're talking with Cat Clark of Sioux Falls Golf right now. U.S. Open preview and the latest from Sioux Falls Golf. SiouxFallsGolf.com. More on the great local golf scene here in Sioux Falls. Cat, welcome into the show, my friend. How you doing this week?
Good, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing great. I know I need to get an opinion from you because you're in Wisconsin right now. I'll be there sometime soon. Badger football, I know, plug your nose lately, hasn't been great. Are you feeling any bit more inspired this summer than you were in recent summers, or is it about the same for you right now about the Badgers?
You know, it's hard to follow the recruiting and everything with all the transfer portal and all that, but you know, once the fall comes, then I dial in a little more. I'm not overly optimistic. I think this new quarterback could be pretty special, but the last three that we've gotten that were supposed to be good have all gotten hurt in the first three games. So if he can make it to game four, well, that would be a bonus.
It certainly would for the Badgers. Won't be long before football season rolls around. It's golf season, though. U.S. Open ahead this weekend. Kat, what is your preference? I know a lot of people will say the Masters is number one for me. There's just a feeling and nostalgia. The pageantry, tradition of the Masters kind of elevates it. But where does the U.S. Open sit for you as far as pecking order of major watchability these days?
You know, I think it's kind of 2A with the Open across the pond. You know, that one's got a lot of tradition and things like that. But seeing the U.S. Open, the way they set the course up long and hard and, you know, seeing those guys duff shots out of the rough, just like, you know, I do, kind of makes me feel good inside.
SiouxFallsGolf.com, the place to go. Certainly you can grab your tee times, learn all about the great events around the corner. Cat Clark is our guest from Sioux Falls Golf. Cat, I got to ask you, man, recently we were talking off air about breaking youngsters into golf, and Sioux Falls Golf has plenty of opportunities, great courses in our area to do so. But give me some advice, man. I got a 7-year-old, a 5-year-old as of this week, and a 2-year-old. What is one or two pieces of advice for any other dads of young kids out there that are considering getting their kid out on the links or kids out on the links? Give me some advice for best practices there, things to do, things not to do and avoid with kiddos on the golf course.
Number one, do not keep score. Do not put pressure on score or yep. shots. But the number one thing to do is just to get them out on the golf course. They can come out there, like maybe your kid likes to watch their tablet or play games, bring those things out there, have them sit in the cart, and just get acclimated to the golf course and, you know, the etiquette of, hey, you've got to be quiet when dad's standing over the ball, and let them hit a couple shots. And if they don't want to, don't force them to. You know, I think that's the biggest thing that I've done with my three kids who all love golf as much as I do and are all better than me already. And even my 5-year-old hits it better than me sometimes. So that's my biggest thing. And then, you know, my daughter just played in her first tournament this week, and man, she didn't, you know, she got 5th out of 5, and you know, she hit some good shots, but just the smiles on her face and keeping them encouraged. I mean, high fives, and That's what this game is all about. So that'd be my advice.
Certainly really great advice. Talking with Cat Clark of Sioux Falls Golf. Cat, give us the latest and greatest on what is ahead for Sioux Falls Golf the remainder of this summer. It has been pretty nice weather this past weekend. Unbelievably cool, mild weather. What do you guys have in front of us immediately and then further down the summer line on the calendar for Sioux Falls Golf?
Well, for the competitive golfers, they're all gearing up for next weekend. You know, obviously the U.S. Open's this weekend, but the Sioux Falls Golf City Championship is next weekend. It's going to be a great 2-day event. Elmwood and Prairie Green will crown the city's best players. And we've got, you know, a women's flight. So we've got senior flight, super senior, and then our championship flight, and then down on based on your handicap. So anyone can play as long as you have a handicap. And it's 2 days, and those 2 days we set our courses up for that challenge, kind of like the U.S. Open. The greens are going to be rolling fast and firm. The rough's going to be a little thicker. And, you know, hopefully we get some good weather. But if we don't, that's always entertaining as well, too. But the City Championship, that's kind of our Super Bowl. It's a big Mayor's Cup event for qualifying. We only have 2 of those left, so getting down to the nitty-gritty on that. But then we've also got our couples events that are huge. Those are on our calendar at SiouxFallsGolf.com. And, you know, our junior events are over, but we do have some camps and clinics coming up as well with Samford Golf.
Elmwood, Prairie Green, Keene Park, the big courses to know, SiouxFallsGolf.com, great resource for area golfers. Kat, you know this well. Sioux Falls is a burgeoning city. Every year that goes by, we get a big uptick in population. A lot of new folks might be listening right now. Give us your take, your spiel on Sioux Falls Golf. What makes it so unique? The calendar, the Mayor's Cup, the competitive golf that you guys offer for a new listener out there, somebody that's new to town, wants to break in, be a part of social golf, competitive golf. Talk to us about the offerings year round for Sioux Falls Golf and kind of what it means to this community.
Yeah, I mean, like you kind of touched on, Sioux Falls is growing and it is a golf crazy community. You know, we work for Landscapes Golf Management. We have over 70 courses in the country, and you know, they all kind of point to us as the gold standard. We do things a lot differently. We do light up the Fast Five short course at Elmwood. We do glow ball events. We do couples themed events. We do adult junior events. And then we also have, you know, the Mayor's Cup has just taken on a mind of its own the last 7 years. And, you know, these people will play rain, shine, snow, sleet, whatever to get those Mayor's Cup points. And, you know, just it kind of creates that anyone can be competitive because of the way the game is flighted, right? So we've created a great community to see people playing together now that didn't know each other 3-4 years ago is really, really special to us. So I think we've created that community effort, and then we have something to offer for everybody.
Certainly, it's a great part of this community. SiouxFallsGolf.com for more details, including upcoming events on the calendar. Kat Clark is our guest. Kat, who is your lead dog heading into the weekend? A lot of people are on Scottie Scheffler. That's predictable. He is a heavy favorite to the outright winner odds, plus 450. Rory second at plus 930. So more than double is likely to win if my math skills are mathing today. Scottie Scheffler, what kind of confidence did you have? Do you have that Scheffler will be in the mix on Sunday? And if it's not Scheffler, which one of these favorites do you like the most between Rory, Rahm, Cameron Young, and Xander Schauffele?
Well, I'm going to go off script with any of those. I think they'll all be kind of in the mix. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Scotty, he's proven that he's always going to be in the mix. But I've been riding Tommy Fleetwood like a mule all year in my fantasy league, and he's carrying me very well. So I'm going to ride Fairway Jesus for another tournament. And I think he's just playing so consistent. I think Hideki Matsuyama too. You know, he's 14 out of 14 cuts on the year, and now I've just jinxed him with that. So, but he's a big one I think to look out for too. But Scotty, he's always going to be in the mix, and you know, he's going for that career grand slam. So he's going to either have to do it, or he's going to start feeling the pressure that Rory felt before last year. So, you know, I think he's in a prime spot too.
And again, certainly there's a lot of golfers on that list. Scheffler, your favorite, plus 450. You got Rory, Rahm, Cameron Young, Xander Schauffele, Tommy Fleetwood right outside the top five, plus 2,200 just ahead of Matt Fitzpatrick. Kat, have you kind of been in overall looking at these younger golfers on the tour, the Chris Goddard-ups of the world, other folks out there? Are there any of those youngsters that you're feeling pretty darn good about this week that could be on that short list on Sunday as well? What young golfers that people might not be overly familiar with do you think could end up in a big stage on Sunday?
There's so many good young golfers. I mean, I think my favorite right now for the young kids, obviously Min Woo is fun to watch. Mm-hmm. He brings a lot of energy, but Jake Knapp, I just think, has the most pure swing. And, you know, his competitiveness, he's been up at the top in some big majors and things like that. So I think he's one to definitely keep an eye on. But there's just so many good young golfers. It's kind of like the scene in Sioux Falls and in South Dakota right now. The high school golf scene right now is incredible. The state AA tournament, you got about 30 kids that could win that thing. And that's kind of how these young guys are. And they're not afraid of anything. They go at Scotty, and they hang with them. And, you know, it's good to see. It's great for the game. It means that the PGA Tour is going to be around for a long time.
Certainly, it's a big week for golf. U.S. Open running Thursday through Sunday. There's your full preview. Kat Clark of Sioux Falls Golf, SiouxFallsGolf.com. The latest also tagged in today's show log. Kat, enjoy the Badger State. Drink a Leinen Kugels for me. We'll talk down the road. Thanks so much for the time, as always.
Yeah, thanks, buddy. We'll talk later.
All right, that's Kat Clark of Sioux Falls Golf, a full U.S. Open preview, and certainly a lot of storylines ahead of that one. Great write-ups, as always, at ESPN.com about golfers to watch, who could win the thing. And to Kat's point, there are a lot of great young golfers out there on the tour. Every time we have a major or a major event that's a non-major, like waste management or things of that nature, we get introduced to these names, the guys that are on the leaderboard Thursday, Friday, into Saturday. Maybe they stick around to Sunday. It takes a lot of experience to stick around throughout the entirety of a tournament, but I'm always a little bit more partial to that experience this time of year, so I will agree. You talk about Scotty and Rory. I would love for those guys to be in the mix on a Sunday. I think they will be. Scotty's got negative odds to be in the top 10. Just about negative odds to be in the top 5, and the outright winner odds plus 450. So that is a heavy, and I mean heavy, favorite to win at Shinnecock Hills for Scottie Scheffler. That would give him the career Grand Slam. Rory has been white hot as well. Back-to-back Masters victories. Been there, done that. A lot of pressure. The monkey off his back. He's second in odds, followed by Rahm, Cam Young, Xander Schauffele, Fleetwood, Fitzpatrick, Olberg, DeChambeau, and Koepka. Rounding out the top 10, worth noting on the Brooks Koepka front, in terms of familiarity, winning pedigree. Last time the U.S. Open was held at Shinnecock Hills was back in 2018. Koepka won his second consecutive, 1-17, and then won at Shinnecock Hills in 18 on the U.S. Open. So worth noting, nice little side note there, ahead of action beginning tomorrow from New York. That's Cat Clark of Sioux Falls Golf. Again, for the latest and greatest, find out how to get involved. Get the youngsters out on the links before the summer is over. Before we know it, SiouxFallsGolf.com. When we come back, we head over to America's pastime, talking about those Minnesota Twins. I don't want to call them hot right now. They're so hot right now, but they're warming up. Three straight wins for Minnesota. They've won four of their last five, 35-40, a respectable mark at this stage. They're ahead of Detroit. They're ahead of Kansas City, just like everybody thought. Not really, but they trail the White Sox and they trail the Guardians, still well within striking distance of being very competitive in the AL Central for the second half of the season. We talk all things Twins around the corner with the Twins Geek. That's John Bonus of TwinsDaily.com. That's coming up next on this Wednesday, June 17th edition of Overtime.
Get ESPN with the free app and online. Grab your phone or call us up on your smart device. Now let's get you back to Overtime with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO.
Moving right along, it's hour number one on a Wednesday edition of Overtime. Time to round out the hour talking about those Minnesota Twins who are not white hot. They're a little hot. They're on the warming plate, if you will. They've won three in a row as of yesterday's 12-2 victory in Arlington over the Rangers. They got a day off, a lot to talk about. Of course, deadline, all-star break looming around the corner. One of our favorites joins us now on the ESPN hotline. That is the Twins Geek, John Bonus of Twins Daily, twinsdaily.com. John, how you doing? It's great to have you back on the show. Happy Wednesday to you.
Happy Wednesday to you, and what a weird off day. For those of you people wondering, why do the Twins have an off day in the middle of a series like this? It's because the World Cup is also being played in Texas, which is where the Twins are playing, and they've got a bunch of games today. So the Twins have a weird off day right in the middle of a series like this.
And certainly it's a little bit unique. The recent stretch for Minnesota been pretty darn kind to them. They've won three in a row, took the series against the Cardinals over the weekend. They've won four of their last five. What have you enjoyed about this last handful of games for Minnesota?
Well, I mean, it's been the offensive breakthrough, right? We finally got, you know, this team was, I mean, the truth is if you take a look at sort of overall runs scored, the Twins have been one of the tops in the American League for most of the year. It's just kind of hard to figure out how they've been doing that. But then, yeah, when they were slumping here for a little bit, you had Buxton missing some games. You had, Ryan Jeffers out for a while. You had Josh Bell slumping, Victor Caratini slumping. Keisha wasn't really hitting as well as we wanted him to. Just in general, that we weren't getting a lot of offense. Now, suddenly, everything's clicking. Royce Lewis is back, and he's hitting. Byron Buxton is AL Player of the Week. Josh Bell is woken up from his early season slump, and suddenly this team is scoring some runs.
Minnesota's record 35-40. That is third in the division, but they're just two games out of a wild card spot. Way too early to be talking about playoff posturing. But just for reference, Minnesota very much in striking distance. I wanted to talk to you, though, about young pitching crew. Of course, Simeon Woods Richardson did not have a great year. He's been moved on to a new team. Zebby Matthews, though, another win yesterday. He's 3-4. What do you like the most about his game specifically lately for Minnesota?
Yeah, what I liked yesterday is that he just went out and threw strikes and attacked things. I mean, the truth is when they have given him some early run support, it seems to sort of give him the confidence he needs to go and attack the zone. Where he gets into trouble is when he falls behind in the count, and he can get fall behind the count when he's nibbling. And I think to some extent, you know, this is a guy who throughout the minors was known for his control, but, you know, hasn't really demonstrated that in the majors. When he is aggressive and when he attacks the zone, we are seeing really good results. And we saw, again, really good results on a time when he not only pitched seven innings, he did it in like 80 some pitches. And then on top of that, you know, he gave the bullpen a little bit of a rest, and the bullpen needed a rest because with a shortened rotation, they've had a bullpen day pretty much every 5 days for the last several weeks. And when you do that, you need to be able to have a couple of horses step forward the day after and give them some time.
John Bonas is our guest, the Twins Geek, twinsdaily.com, Gleeman and Geek Show. John, let's talk about Royce Lewis. That certainly is a story in its own right this year for all the wrong reasons to start. He gets demoted and then works his way back up. Been a little bit of a boost lately for Minnesota. What do you make of his career arc, and this year in particular, been very interesting in the saga of Royce Lewis?
Yeah, I mean, that arc has changed significantly mm-hmm. over the last 3 or 4 weeks. You know, about 4 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago, he was demoted. And, you know, that demotion was well earned. Some would say maybe long overdue. Mm-hmm. I mean, not only did he look completely overmatched at the plate, I mean, just so many strikeouts, so few walks, so few competitive at bats. It wasn't just a slump, it was somebody lost in the weeds. You know, that had been going on. That was the culmination of 2 years of struggles. You know, really, since the middle of 2023, we had not seen Royce Lewis do, or in the middle of 2024, we had not seen Royce Lewis really have much success at the major league level. And then his first at bat in St. Paul, he hit a home run. He continued to hit home runs throughout his time in St. Paul. I think they ended up calling him up much sooner than they really expected to. I think they thought he was going to need a lot more time. And since he has called up, he has done nothing but hit. I don't know if there was a mental adjustment. Certainly it feels that way. The change here, there's nothing, you know, significantly different. It's like his swing that he rediscovered, 3 weeks ago. He just finally got the break that he needed and reset himself in St. Paul and has come up and has done nothing but hit while playing a pretty good first base, which is a brand new position for him.
And for reference, Royce Lewis was hitting .204 in the month of April. In the month of May, he hit .105. And then since returning to the Minnesota Twins lineup, first game back was Saturday, the 6th of June. He's hitting .324. So certainly a big boost for Royce Lewis and those Minnesota Twins. Let's talk Byron Buxton. A couple years ago, the narrative was, when is he going to get hurt? He's going to have these flashes. He can hit. He can steal. He can run. He can field. But the injuries are always a concern. Buxton is not really writing that back in the last couple of years. This year, absurdly special for Buxton so far. How much of a revelation has this been, and how much of a joy has it been for you to see him on the field producing at career best numbers and career best trajectory at this stage of this 2026 season?
Yeah, I mean, I'll just go back 3 years right now at this point. Beginning of 2024, we went into spring training, and he had undergone a different kind of knee surgery, a knee surgery that was, you know, basically removing this flap of tissue or something within his knee that they kind of determined had been, you know, kind of flaring up and causing problems over and over and over again. And I remember in 2024, you know, after years of, you know, trying to figure out how to keep him healthy and so on, you could just see a weight lifted off of him to be playing without pain. And we kind of wondered, well, how long does this last? Mm-hmm. Right? Well, it's lasted. And, you know, not only that, you know, we are seeing from him in a year in which this is his 32-year-old season. He's 32 and almost exactly 32 and a half right now. We are seeing a 600 slugging percentage. It makes you wonder if he could have been healthy from 27 to 29, just what kind of numbers he could have been putting up consistently during that time. But, yeah, we're seeing – I mean, he got MVP votes last year. He was actually disappointed, and I think justifiably so, that he didn't finish top 10 in MVP. He got 11th overall. We're seeing a similar kind of season this year where he could be performing that. You listen to opposing broadcasts, and they are absolutely raving about the year he is having. And that is, by the way, he hasn't been perfectly healthy this year. I mean, he's had a couple of times where he's missed, had to miss, you know, a week or two worth of games to, you know, just kind of make sure that he was staying strong. But, yeah, we're seeing incredible power. He's hitting 275. This is exactly the guy that we kind of hoped we would have, you know, a few years ago. And truth be told, had he not struggled during the middle, those middle years during his prime with injuries, I'm not sure he'd be on this team because they were able to re-sign him because of those struggles at a lower salary. And so he's doing all this at a relative bargain of $15 million a year.
And Byron Buxton on pace again. You can dive as deep as you want to into pacing and stat analysis, but right around 50 homers this year could be doable for Byron Buxton. Crazy. Which would obliterate his previous high just last year of 35, in which he did that in 126 games. John Bonus, our guest, the Twins Geek, twinsdaily.com, the Gleeman and Geek Show. John, let's talk about the All-Star break, trade deadline forecast. There is no way the Minnesota Twins sell anywhere near as hard as they did last year. That was well noted, scrutinized, much to the chagrin of the fan base last year. I think it was, 10 players at the deadline, 10 major league players on the move from Minnesota elsewhere. Are the Twins buying, selling, sitting on their hands, or something in between this year? What's your forecast for the trade deadline, which is still over a month away?
I think my forecast is going to be the same as it was going into the year, that they'll probably be sellers. Mm-hmm. That said, that's on hold. You know, this team is only 5 games under 500. They are only 2.5 games out of the wild card spot. If they play over 500 ball, and they've been playing close to 500 ball at this point, but they play over 500 ball between now and the All-Star break, you know, they will be within a game or two probably of the last AL wildcard spot. Tom Pollard has made it clear that his goal for this year was to see them play competitive, to be a competitive team into September, to have September games count for something. So I don't think anybody's in a hurry to unload unload players. They also, as you noted, they don't have 10 players to trade away this mm-hmm. year, right? Like that, you can't have a fire sale to that extent 2 years in a row. Otherwise, you just don't have a team, right? But what they don't have with quantity, they might have with quality. Joe Ryan would probably be on the trade block again. Ryan Jeffers, who was having an amazing year prior to this injury and should be back, you know, probably in July. Is going to be a free agent at the end of the year. He was looking like one of the best catchers in the American League. That's the sort of thing a team will pay for at the trade deadline. So he might be another option. I don't think we'll see a repeat of dismantling the bullpen, because frankly, they don't have a bullpen to dismantle. They don't have enough guys that are there. But you can probably see a couple of players that might be on the move from the bullpen. You know, Anthony Banda, the left-handed guy that knew pretty well. It could be somebody that is. And then there's also sort of, you know, some of the guys that we've just talked about, Royce Lewis. Mm-hmm. I mean, if he bounces back, certainly he might be of interest to some other teams if a team is high on him. On the other hand, you know, maybe he's somebody you want to keep around he's not a free agent anytime soon, so maybe the Twins can hang on to somebody like that.
There's an article up at ESPN.com. There are 8 Minnesota Twins on the top 100 trade deadline candidates up right now, ESPN.com. That's the latest in Twins country, Twins talk, twinsdaily.com. Stay engaged on the Minnesota Twins. They are off today. They resume the series tomorrow against those Rangers. 1 o'clock pregame coverage right here on the Treasure Island Baseball Network. There's your fill of Twins talk. John Bonus, the Twins Geek. Always great to have you, John. Until next time, have a great rest of the week, and we'll talk to you then.
Thanks, Bert. Hope to see you at Target Field soon. Bye-bye.
We absolutely hope to see you there as well. John Bonus of TwinsDaily.com. Again, if you're a diehard Twins fan and you are not engaging with TwinsDaily.com, the bevy of podcasts and all the content they put out on those Minnesota Twins, you are missing out. Twins off today, but warming right now to the tune of three straight victories. They've won four of their last five, and certainly a ball club that is pointed in the right direction, while they also still could be moderate sellers at the trade deadline. We'll dive into that article and get an article out at ESPNSiouxFalls.com. But yes, there are many Twins on that list of top 100 players that could be moved ahead of the deadline, which looms on August the 3rd. Caratini, Banda, Bell, some names to know. Also, Taylor Rogers, a lefty. Trevor Larnach on this list, and so many more for the Minnesota Twins. A total of eight different Twins making the top 100. Byron Buxton on the list. Joe Ryan, predictably, on the list as well. That's John Bonus of Twins Daily, twinsdaily.com. We'll take a break, come back with your headlines and highlights as we reset for the top of the hour. Hour two, we'll test your wits with the identity crisis. It's not an easy one today. Easy for me, but I'm a nerd. An easy one, up for debate, but the identity crisis, an opportunity to win some Rock the Country tickets on me. Two-day concert coming up in just a few weekends is ahead. Identity crisis, latest from the NFL, and so much more around the corner as we continue on a Wednesday edition of Overtime right after this on your Sioux Falls Sports Leader.